The first place we stopped was in Mississippi with our disaster relief units in Kitchen. Shortly thereafter, we sent one to the edge of New Orleans. And then before long, we had two kitchens in New Orleans. We had one at Algiers, just across the river from the Dome. For a year, when we got it back, we had to totally overhaul it. It had been so used, providing a ministry and service to people in that area. I was one of the first ones down there from the state of Missouri and other places. Had a disaster relief sticker on the side of my pickup and in the window. I got gas when other people didn't get gas. I got through roadblocks when other people couldn't get through roadblocks because I had to sign. I drove for a long way and there was nothing but me and other disaster relief vehicles on the road and a few, very few police cars, because most of them had piled in a bus and got out of there and left the car sitting. But that's a different story. I've said all of that to say this. One of the first things I noticed was how quiet it was. Very quiet. The birds had all left. Where they went, I don't know. But there was not a bird to be found. Not a vulture. Not an eagle. Not a bluebird. Not a redbird. And not a sparrow. Any part of that country. They were gone. I was back and forth from Jeff City to Algiers many times. And slowly, very slowly, the birds came back. First time I was down there, I was down there for 2 weeks, came home for 3 or 4 days and went back for 2 more weeks. And it wasn't until the second go around of the second group of weeks that I was down there that the birds started coming back in. Now, who told the birds to get out of there? Come on now. They don't have television. They weren't running around with the cell phone with a storm alert system on it. Didn't have a radio. And I'm pretty sure there was not safety officers running around with the intercom system on the car or a speaker in their hand saying, get out of here, it's about to storm, get out of here. Who told the birds to go? They're not a sparrow hit the ground that the Father doesn't know it. You don't lose a hair on your head that the Father don't know it. He's got them numbered. He knows exactly which number fell out. He knows how many more are going to fall too. And that last phrase said, are you not more valuable than a sparrow? I remember one time getting a spanking for shooting a sparrow with the BB gun and killing it. Dad said, why'd you shoot it? I said, I guess it was there. That was a wrong answer. I learned you just don't kill them for the fun of it. As a little boy, God knew when I shot that sparrow off the power line and he fell to the ground dead. I threw him to the cats, but didn't save my hide. God knew. And God knows. You and I have problems that come into our life, and we say, what in the world is that coming for? What did I do now? Who did this to me? Why am I having to endure this? And we try to work things out ourselves when we have problems. Well, I can handle it. I can do it. I'm a big boy. I know how to get this done. And from time to time, it works for me. And then there are other times I just make bigger problems. You ever done that? Well, that's fun, isn't it? When you make a bigger problem. You know who's got the right answer every time, all the time? God. He never has the wrong answer. And when you got a problem, if you take the time and patience to pray and wait on Him, He will give you the answer. Let's look at some things, reasons really, that problems come into our lives. Why does God allow me to have problems? After all, I'm one of His children. I go to church, pay my tithe, I sing, I read my Bible. What in the world does He do this to me for? You ever feel that way? Come on now, don't lie to me. I know you do. We're human. But God, what are you doing? Well, let's look. Four things. First of all, God allows problems into our lives so we'll turn to Him. What do you mean turn to Him? Sometimes we let things cause us to get sidetracked in our walk. Sometimes we let activities cause us to fear and not follow God and not look to Him and not ask Him. God's waiting on us to call upon Him. He's looking for us to treat Him like a real father. He is the best father there is. You can have a good father. You can have a great role model. But I'm telling you, he cannot hold a candle to God. Next Sunday's Father's Day, Men's Day. There's nobody, I don't care who he is, can hold a candle to God when it comes to being a father and to Christ being the man. Can't do it. And you and I get all pumped up and we get this macho attitude, men, that I can fix it. I know how. I got mechanic skills, I got a brain, I got this, I got that. And we want to fix it. We all talk to God about it. He's got the answer. Now you can Google about anything today and get some kind of answer about something that's broke. But I'm telling you, you can't Google your life, your heart, Your mind, your spirit, when it's broken, when it's hurting, when it's in pain, when problems come that are emotional for you and spiritual for you, the only one that's got an answer is God. He made you. He created you. He weaved you together in your mother's womb. He knows the hair on your head. He knows everything about your life. Whether you feel it or not, He knows. He knows everything about people's lives that are not in this church, that are around the church. He knows every hair on their head. He knows everything that's going to happen to them this week. He knows. He's our Father. And sometimes He just allows them to come into our life to get our attention. We used to have a teacher. If a teacher caught you dozing in class or not paying attention, you could pretty well be sure an eraser was coming at you. And he had dead aim. He didn't miss. And he didn't care what size he threw either. If it's a long one or a short one, he'd wing that thing at you, man. And you knew better than complain, because you'd be up there with your nose stuck in the corner or something. Or he'd say, go to the principal's office. That's the last place you wanted to go. Because back in them days, they'd whip you. And our principal was about 6'6", 290-some pounds. And he had an arm on him like that. You didn't want him spanking you. He lights you up. Sometimes God just... wake up. Put your focus back on me. Look to me. Second reason we have problems is to purify our lives and help us to go forward for a greater purpose for God. In 2 Timothy, there is a passage of Scripture in which Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he's trying to help him. 2 Timothy 2:21. I missed it. Sorry, I got the wrong page. There we go. I got it. 2 Timothy 2:21. I knew that wasn't the scripture. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Paul's saying to Timothy in this section, when you look above, he's saying, Timothy, in a house, there are different vessels. You have dippers that you use. There are special gravy bowls. There are special plates. There are not everyday plates. There are plates when you're having something special that you use. In a house, there are also cooking utensils. But in a house of that day, there were clay pots. You see, they didn't have bathrooms in the house. You had to go outside. And so at night, you used a clay pot. Now, some of you old enough to know what I'm talking about. And what Paul is saying to Timothy, it's all right to have a good plate or a good cooking utensil, and you use that, but you don't mess around with the clay pot. It's dirty. It's nasty. And he said, you got to purge yourself of that which is in your life that really would be classified as belonging to the clay pot. sin, bad attitudes, things that we do. God allows them, problems, to come into our lives so that we'll turn to Him. And when we turn to God, then the convicting, convincing power of the Holy Spirit comes toward us and says, you got to repent of this. You got to repent of that. And we repent and we clean up our lives. And God can use us. And He can use the problem to glorify Himself and His Son. And He does. But God allows that to get our hold of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is a very, very familiar verse. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You need to present your life to God. He saved you. He's redeemed you. He's bought you with a price. He's cleaned up your life. You belong to Him. You no longer belong to Satan or yourself. You belong to Jesus. And He wants to use you in kingdom work, in kingdom ministry. In the process, the third reason is God uses problems to conform us to the image of His Son. Who's your hero in the Christian faith? Who do you look to in the Christian faith? I mean, there's somebody that's been in your life. Somebody has touched you somewhere. I think back about Mrs. Stump. Now, I wouldn't call her a hero, but I call her a very special person in my life. I was a junior boy when she's a junior boy teacher. She had a bunch of us junior boys. Well, she kept us in line. And she probably about 5'1", maybe, if she's lucky, with high heels. Mrs. Stump talked about coming in the hard times in our community. I pressed and run a community store. He bought eggs and sold eggs and different stuff like that. Kind of a general store. And she talked about gathering up the eggs, going to Ike's store, selling the eggs. Ike give her cash. She'd take the cash out and put it in the envelope that was the tithe. And then what she had left, she would buy groceries for a week, sometimes 2 weeks. Sometimes they ate high on the hog, sometimes they ate pretty thin. She instilled in my life that you cannot outgive God. And God will take care of you whether you have a lot or a little. As you can look at my midwaist, I've had quite a bit through the years. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice, not as a dead sacrifice. And then in that 8th chapter, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Doesn't say everything's good. All the problems that come in our life, God can work them toward the good. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants us to have the personality and the spiritual appearance of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's to flow out of our life. It's to be a part of who we are. Now, God's still working on me. I'm like an old piece of coal. You know, if you press old coal long enough and work on it long enough, you're going to have a diamond. Come on now. God brings problems that press down upon you so that one day you will look like a diamond. Right now, you're a diamond in the rough. Some of you are a little rougher than others, but you're a diamond in the rough. And he's working on us. And he's molding us and he's shaping us with the problems that come in our life. And I don't like them. And sometimes in my flesh, I want to resist them. Ooh, do I want to resist the problem? But then God get a hold of me and he said, I got this here for a reason. I got to let him do his work and knock off some edges of this old hunk of coal. The fourth reason, God allows problems so we may experience his comfort and his peace. Verse 31 of our text. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. God said, don't panic. You're a human. You're more valuable than a sparrow. Jesus Christ did not die necessarily for the soul of a sparrow. He died for the soul that you have and I have. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice. He shed his blood on Calvary. He was beaten. All of his blood and strength ran out. Someone else carried his crossbeam. He was nailed to it, hung there, died for you and me. What a God. What a God. What a Savior. Jesus said to his disciples about his love for them. In Matthew 11, I don't even know why I'm turning for it. It's right there in front of me. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you feel like you're carrying a heavy load? Do you feel like the wagon wheels are square instead of round? You're having a hard time getting down the road. Jesus said, come on, come to me. Lay your burden on me. You lay your burden on me, and I'll give you rest. You lay your burden on me, and you're going to find peace. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives, do I give. The world's peace is not lasting. I mean, history is filled with peace treaties that have been broken. But there is not one peace treaty that God has made with you and me that has ever been broken. And the final peace treaty God made with man was through his Son, Jesus Christ. And my friend, that will never disappear. And he brings peace through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that I cannot explain, I cannot tell you about in all of its fullness, but I know it's there, and I shout about it, and I thank him for it. Because when Chris passed away, I experienced a new level of God's presence and peace like I have never experienced in my entire life. And I've been in a lot of situations. And I've talked to others who've lost a spouse that are Christians, and people pray for them, and they'll tell you exactly what I've told you. There is a peace and a presence of God like you've never experienced before. He said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not like the world gives. I mean, after Chris passed away, people were everywhere around me. They're not today. After my kids had to go back to work and school and life, and they not there like they were. And that's okay. But you know who's there? Jesus. He's there. Somebody needs to go out there and stop that drive-thru out there. I want to get them saved or something. Jesus is there. Now, there are moments when you just want to talk to somebody that's a human and they're not there. But there's no hole here at that moment. I usually call somebody on the phone or text somebody or do something to get a response. Sometimes I got to do two or three people to get a response. But it happens. God got somebody who wants to say something. And that's okay. But there's a peace that he gives. Problems are going to come. You and I can't avoid problems. If you haven't really experienced problems, hang on. Man, they're coming. Because you're behind. God's got to catch up. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't do that. But problems come. Trials come. Heartaches come. And God lets them come. It's not that he doesn't love us. Oh, he loves us. He loves us so much, he's got every hair on our head numbered. Frank's lost a few. He knows which ones fell out. Sparrow ministry is what I do. Room at the Cross, new name, join Sparrow. Why do we have it Sparrow ministry? Because God cares for every sparrow in the world. Not just in the United States, Russia, Cuba, South America, Africa, England, China, Spain, Italy. Every place God cares. I don't know what you're facing today. Don't have any idea. And it's really some of it none of my business. And that's okay. But here's what I do know. You have someone who cares about you far greater than anybody could ever care about you. Your mother and your father would have laid down their life for you. But I'm telling you, Jesus loves you more. and he cares about you more. And there is not a problem you're facing today that he doesn't have the answer to. But you can't get it if you don't talk to him. You talk to him by reading the word and praying. The word he communicates to you, prayer, you're communicating to him. And in that process, somehow, the Holy Spirit works in here. And you know. Let's bow. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. I thank you for all the good things that you bring in our life. Thank you for all the joys you bring to us. And now I pray, Father, every heart here, every life here faces issues. And I pray that they'll take those issues to you and find the answer for your glory. I pray, Heavenly Father, that those that are not here this morning who are going through issues in their lives, oh Lord, help them with those issues. Provide health, provide healing, provide guidance, provide wisdom. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.